Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erev and Daf Nun Beis. We are four lines from the top. Says the Gemara, Amar Rami Bar Chama. Now, we know there are two ways to establish the Erev Tchumen. Number one, by actually going out to the Erev site, being present during Menash Mashis. Number two, by placing food there and establishing the Shvisa in that manner. Is there a difference between the two cases in terms of how much space one will receive? Says the Gemara, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Hari Amru. We know Chazal told us for a fact, Shavas Yesh Lo Dal Damis. If a person actually goes out to the Mokim of the Erev to establish Shvisa, he will get four Amis as his place of residence, in addition to a Tchum of 2,000 Amah in all directions. Let's see Rashi inside. Four lines from the top. It says Rashi, Shavas Shekoyne Shvisa Baraglov. When a person is Koyne Shvisa Baraglov by using his physical presence at the Erev site, Yesh Lo Dal Damis L'Kneas Bais. He certainly granted four amis for his bias, his personal space, his personal residence. Levad me'alpay mechol rach, in addition to 2,000 amah in all directions. So that we know is a fact. We learned from a pasuk, shvuish tachtov, person's personal space is meant to be his makim, and that is the initial area which is given to him. Beyond that, he gets 2,000 amah. So that's granted. Now we know as a fact. The question is, continues the Gemara, the question is, Hanoisin Esei Ruvai. If a person places the Erev, the food, at the Makam Shvisa, in order to establish the Makam Shvisa, Yesh Lo Dal Damis Eloi. Will he receive the initial four Amis for his place of residence? And in addition to that, 2,000 Amis beyond, Eloi, or perhaps not. This concept of four Amis is applied specifically to a person. Shvuish tachtov, it's meant to accommodate a person. So, if he personally goes out to the Makom Shvisa, he gets that personal space of four amis, plus a tchum of 2,000. But if he chooses to use his bread to establish the Makom Shvisa, perhaps he doesn't get those four amis. He'll be cutting Shvisa, certainly, but Shvisa means this is his place of residence with a tchum of 2,000. He doesn't get that initial four amis. It's only 2,000 in all directions and no more. Amar Rava Tashma, I'll bring a right from our Mishnah, which says, Lo Yomru Ma'arv Mepas. Ideally, a person is meant to go out to the Erev site to establish Shvisa. Why then did the Chacham allow a person to use bread? Only Ela Lahoka Ela Usher, to make it easier for the usher, meaning one who has access to food, Shele Yetze Ve'arv Baraglav. He shouldn't find it necessary to have to actually trouble himself to go out and to do the Erev using his personal presence. So it's to his benefit that we allow him to use bread. Now, vi amris ein loy, if you maintain that only when he's actually there will he get those four amis, in addition to the 2,000. But if he merely sends food out there, he will not receive those first four amis. Hai lo hakel. Why is this making it easier? Why is it to his benefit? Lahachmeru. It's actually going to result in a chumra. He's going to receive less space than if he would actually go out there. Says the Gemara, perhaps you're right, but nevertheless, it's to his benefit. Afilu hachi, even so nichalei. He prefers it in this way, ki hechid lo litrach v'nefek. He doesn't have to trouble himself to physically go out to the makom of the Erev. So certainly, to his convenience and to his benefit, to allow him to use bread, although perhaps he'll end up with less space than had he gone on himself to establish the makom shvisa. So in summary, when a person is physically there, he gets the four amis plus 2,000 beyond. When he sends some bread out, we're unsure, we'll leave it inconclusive. Continues the Mishnah. Mishi yotza leilich bi'ir shem arvin ba. So we learned earlier that from Aleph, if a person chooses to establish Shvisa by announcing, well, I'd like my Makom Shvisa to be established right over there. So if he's doing it from afar, it certainly cannot be done in that manner unless he's an ami. He's on the road, he's traveling, he's a wayfarer, doesn't have access to food. So we allow him to establish the Shvisa without using bread, without even being there, even just from afar. So we have a case here of a person, Misha Yotza Leilich, Be'ir Shem Arvimba. He left one city, and he's on the way to another city which is within 4,000 amma. So Be'ershem Arba means that it's within 4,000 where you can walk if you would establish an Erev in between the two cities. Now what happened was, he never made it. He never made it anywhere. He started out on his journey, and V'chziru chaveri, his friend turned him back in the middle. He says, listen, it's there's traffic, it's bad weather, and he turned around and went back to the initial city. However, he did announce, he did express his intention that he wants to have a shvisa for himself right in between those two towns, because he'd like to spend Shabbos in the other town. So what is the halacha? Hu mutar leilich. So although he went back home, he never arrived at the Erev site. On Shabbos and stuff, he's allowed to go, travel from one city to the other, and rely on that Erev that he has established by merely announcing his intention without having been there, without actually placing bread there. Why? Because he's an Ani. Since he set out on a journey, he's considered to be a wayfarer. He has a din of an Ani, who has the ability, the privilege to establish Shvisa in this manner. V'chol b'nei ha'ir asur. However, all the other residents of that first city, they don't have the ability to establish Shvisa in this manner. So even they announced explicitly, we'd like to have our Malkim Shvisa be established right between those two towns, doesn't help for them, because they never set out on a trip, on a journey. They're still home. They have a din of Ashirim. An Ashir cannot establish Shvisa in this manner. He has to use bread. Therefore, they cannot make use of this Erev. They have to remain within their original Tchum. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, who holds this fellow, since he embarked on his journey, he's considered like an Ani. Therefore, he can establish Shvisa from afar, even by mere announcement, without using bread. Rabbi Omer doesn't work like this, because this person is also considered an usher. Let's remember, he was coming from home. He's not your typical traveler stranded in the middle of the road, doesn't have access to food. Therefore, Rabbi Omer says, this person has a din like an usher, and he doesn't have the Makom Shvisa, unless he actually used bread. So in this case, it's invalid. And therefore, what are the results? Anybody who has the ability, who's required to make a proper Erev by use of bread, and he neglected to do so, such as in this case. So what happens? Hareza chamer gamel. He's in limbo. This is a term we used earlier in the Masechta. Chamer gamel, a person who's leading a donkey going ahead, and a camel who's lagging behind, means he's stuck in the middle, he's in limbo. Says Rameya, this fellow, since on the one hand, he wanted to establish the Makom Shvisa, but was unsuccessful. So he doesn't get the Tchum from that location. On the other hand, he has expressed his intention to the extent that he'd like to remove himself from his current location. He doesn't want to be in the city. He doesn't want to have a shvisa in the city. He wants to have a shvisa elsewhere. So he's no here, no there. So what are the results? He's a chamer gamel. What does that mean? So he began in the city, and he wanted to establish his shvisa between this city and the other city. So right in the middle of those boundaries, he wanted to establish shvisa, which was unsuccessful. So he cannot walk 2,000 amma beyond the makom shvisa, which wasn't successful. That's certainly not allowed. On the other hand, well, perhaps, let's say he's kind of shvisa in the initial location, in his current city, which would allow him to walk 2,000 amma towards the other city, and also 2,000 amma away from the other city, as a standard home. Says Rameh, that's not the case. Why? Because since, in his mind, he wanted to establish a shvisa right in the middle of those two towns. So what happens is he removes himself, he's oiker himself, he uproots himself from the boundary on the other side of the city. He had no intention of walking there on Shabbos. He wanted to walk towards the city on the other side. So he loses the 2,000 amma in the other direction. So the only direction he can walk is 2,000 amma in direction of the other city. That's okay. That's a chamer gamel. He's no here, no there. He doesn't get the shvisa which he wanted, because Rameh holds he's an osher, he's home, he needs to use bread. He doesn't get the shvisa which she intended to establish between both towns. At the same time, we don't say, well, he doesn't get that, let him at least be home and receive the same privileges as everybody else in town. Meaning, 2,000 on all directions. The answer is no. Because since he wanted to specifically acquire shvisa in direction of the second town, so he has been oikar, he has removed himself, at least mentally, from the other directions. So he cannot walk in the other direction. He lost the tumah in the other direction. Only thing he can do is walk 2,000 amma in direction of the second city. So Rameh holds this fellow is not an ani. We have three different cases. We have a person who's actually on the road. He's an ani according to all shittas. A person who's back home. Like the other people of the city, they never set out on their journey. Kol bnei ha'ir asur according to all shittas, because they're actually home. So a person who's home would like to establish this eruv, somewhere out in the open, and head back home afterwards, he's considered an usher according to all shittas. So this is accepted upon by all. On the road is an ani. If you're actually stationed at home, you're an usher. The question is, in this case, which is somewhere in between, he has a house here, but he's on the way to the other city. Is that considered like an usher? Or perhaps since he's on the road, we consider him like an ani. Ravida says an ani. Rameh says he's an usher. Therefore, the Erev is not valid unless he used actually used bread. Continues the Gemara. Maishna iu u'maishna inu. Let's try to understand. This fellow set out on his journey, and he announced his intention to establish a shvisa in between the two towns. Rabida says, yeah, he gets his makam shvisa there. But that's only specific to him. The other members of the city, although they specifically express their intention, they want a shvisa there as well, they don't get shvisa. What is the difference between him and them? Amar Rafuna, very simple. Hach ma'eskina, we're speaking about a case, kigoin sheyesh leshnei batim. This fellow owns two homes, one in this town, one in the other town. In between both houses, you have two boundaries of Shabbos, meaning about 4,000 amma, which allows him to place an eruv right in the middle to enable him to walk from one to the other. So he set out on the journey, and therefore he's an ani. Iyu, this fellow, kivid nafkli l'urcha. Since he set out on the journey, havali ani, he's considered an ani. He's not home. And that grants him special privileges. He can establish shvisa without use of bread, even at a distance, even from afar. Therefore, his shvisa is valid. V'hani ashir ninu. In contrast to the other people of his town, who are back home. They never set out on this trip, and therefore, they're considered to be ashirim, they're classified as ashirim, and they cannot establish shvisa in this manner without use of bread. Therefore, the error for him is fine, for them isn't. Tani nami hachi. We learned likewise in a braisa, which describes the halacha in this manner. This fellow who has two homes, who b'neim shnei tchumei Shabbos, in between two boundaries of Shabbos, kiven sheichzak b'derech. Kana. Once he was machzak b'derech, meaning he took hold of the road, he began his trip, kana eruv, his eruv takes hold. Divrei Rav Yehuda. So, this is the exact description that Rav Huna provided for us regarding this halach. Yasser al-Kain Omar Rabbeisa Yehuda. So this Brisa adds another sheet. The sheet of Rabbeisa Yehuda adds, furthermore, Afilu matzei chaveroi v'omar loy linpoi. So the simple meaning of these words are as follows. Even if he hadn't really set out on the road, he didn't get too far. He began to leave. And his friend meets him and says, v'omar loy linpoi, why don't you sleep over here? It's not a good time to travel. It's hot out there. It's cold weather. Stay home and perhaps go tomorrow. L'machar mashkin b'hoilach. Even in this case, where he never really set out on the journey, he was stopped in his tracks before he got anywhere. His shvisa takes effect. It's as though he was kind of shvisa right in the middle of those two boundaries and allows him to walk to the other town. I was going to analyze this braisa. At this point, we have two shittas. Rav Yehuda, who speaks about this person, this traveling person, being Koine Shvisa, which allows him to walk to the other town. We have Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, adds that even in some unusual case where his friend stopped him in his tracks, he will still have the same halacha. Let's try to understand these two shittas. And what exactly is the machlokes here? They seem to be so similar. So we have two approaches. We have Rabba's approach. We have Rabbi Yisrael's approach. Omer Rabba, Loimar Kuli Amo Le'pligi Detzarech. All agree, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda agree, that he has to actually express his intention. Meaning, he has to announce, my Shvisa should be a Makom Pleni. If I'm in the middle of those two towns, that's certainly a requirement. Ki pligi lahachzik. The question is whether he has to actually be machzik. So literally machzik means to take hold of the road. Meaning, does he actually have to be out on the road to have begun his journey in order for us to consider him an ani, a wayfarer, who has the privilege of establishing shvisa without placement of food? That's the machlekes. Rav Yehuda holds, yes, he needs to be machzik. As Rav Yehuda tells us, he was hichzik b'derech, he's on the road. Certainly, he's considered to be an ani, and he's allowed to make shvisa from afar, from a distance, even without placing food. So both are required. He has to actually say it, and physically, his location has to indicate that he's an ani. Whereas Rav Yehuda says, to speak, of course, that's required. He has to say, he has to express his intention. Yes, I'd like my shvisa to be there. But Rav Yehuda is coming to add something. We don't need him to actually have gone out on the road. Even if he's just on his way out and he's already stopped in his tracks, that's enough. Rav Yehuda holds, once a person is on his way out, his mind is on the road. So where a person's mind is, that's where here he is, he's going to be an ani, and he can establish the shvisa in this manner. That's Rabbi's approach. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Lahachzik the Kuli Amo Le'pligi Detzarech. He holds, in order for us to consider him an ani, certainly he has to be on the road. That's agreed upon by all, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Ki pligi leimar. The question is whether we require him to actually express his intention to be Koine Shvisa. Does he have to say Shisasi Makom Pleni? Or perhaps the fact that he's on the road and we know he'd like to arrive to the second town on Shabbos, like to spend Shabbos in the second home, that implicit consent is sufficient to give him the Makom Shvisa. Rabbi Yehuda says, yes. Rabbi Yehuda says, he needs to actually express his intention and to actually say that I'd like to have my Shvisa there. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. He says, even if his friend met him in the road and turned him back, even without his fellow having said anything, he is Koine Shvisa. So in conclusion, there's no machlokes regarding Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, right? All Shitas, Rabbi and Yehuda both agree that according to Rabbi Yehuda, both conditions need to be met. Number one, he needs to actually say, I'd like to have my Shvisa Makom Pleni. Number two, in order for him to have that privilege, that ability to establish Shvisa from afar without using bread, he needs to actually be a wayfarer. He needs to be a person that's traveling. La'achzik. He needs to have begun his trip. So all agree that according to Rabbi Yehuda, both conditions need to be met. Machlokes is merely according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi says, he needs to at least say Shvisa Makom Pleni. He doesn't need to actually be on the road. As long as he's on the way out, that's enough. Rabbi Yosef says just the opposite. He doesn't need to say, to express his intention, to explicitly state, Shivisasi Makom Pleni, but he needs to be on the road for us to consider him an ani. Says the Merkaman Asla, Hadamar Ula, the following statement of Ula, whose Shita is it consistent with? What did Ula say? Mi shechzik b'derech b'chzir b'chaveroi, the person's on the road, and his friend turned the back. Hareyu muhsar, umuhsak. Muhsar means he's back home. It's as though nothing happened, meaning he was not Koine Shvisa at that location. Umuhsak. He has taken hold of the road. He's considered to be a traveler. He did acquire Shvisa. So this seems to be a contradiction. I muhsar, if he's back home without anything, lo muhsak. Why do you say that he's muhsak, which indicates that he has a Shvisa? I muhsak, If he has a Shvi, so Lama Muchsa, why is he back home? Hachi Kama, this is what Ula meant to say. Av al pi shemuchzer muchzak. Even though he's back home, meaning he never really said, he never expressed his intention to be kohen shvisa, muchzak. He's considered to have taken hold of the road, and he's considered to have acquired the makom shvisa. It's okay, even without saying anything. So whose shita are we following? It says the Gemara Keman. Whose shita is this? Kerav Yosef. Valiba to Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda. It's following Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda's shita in accordance with the interpretation of Rabbi Yosef, who says that the determinant is whether he's begun his trip. That's all. Musak. That's all we need. We need him to be on the road, and this gives him the shvisa out in the road, out in the at that location, even though he didn't express it in words. So that's what Ula meant to say. Ava bishul musak. Even though it appears like he's back home because he never said anything to express his willingness to be kind of shvisa out in the open. Muchzak, no. We say that he's kind of shvisa. He acquired that makan shvisa. Why? Because he's begun his trip and we have that implicit acknowledgement that he wants the makan shvisa because, look, he wants to spend Shabbos elsewhere. So therefore, it is sufficient. Continues the Gemara. Rav Yehuda bar Ishtasa. So this was his name. I see Le Kalkala de Peri Le Rav Nosson Bar Isha. He presented a basket of fruit on Erev Shabbos to Rav Nosson Bar Isha. Then he turned back to go home. Kiaba Ozla, when he was going back home, Shavke, so his host, Rav Nosson, allowed him to begin descending the staircase, Adanochas Darga. He let him go down one step. At that point, he stopped him. Amar Le, Bishacha, why don't you sleep over here and go back home tomorrow? See Rashi inside, two lines from the bottom. So this was Rav Yehuda by Ishtasa. Says Rashi Shem Adam, Ishtasa's name of a person. So he presented this basket, and when he was on the way out, gave a Uzla Beisei, Ubisech Dal Dal of Mahava, which was within 4,000 Amma. Nochas Darga Malam and Akevish. So he went down one step of that staircase, Sheyurid and Aliyah, on the way down of from the second floor, Da'ava Lehichzik B'derech. This accomplished the concept of Hechzik. He's already taken hold of the road, he's already begun his journey. So once he began the Derech, his host sees the opportunity and said, look, now that you've begun your trip back home, you have Shvisa, you've established your Erev somewhere out in the open, which will allow you to go back home tomorrow. Why don't you sleep over tonight and go back home tomorrow? Continues the Gemara on the bottom line. Lemachar kadim ba'azl. So the next day he got up and went back home, relying on the shvisa which he had acquired over there in the middle of the road. Now, this person had begun his journey. He was hechzik b'derech. But did he say anything? No. Come on, whose shita are we following? Rav Yosef. Valiba, the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Apparently we're following Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's shita. In accordance with the interpretation of Rabbi Yosef, who says that all we need is hechzik. He should begin traveling. That makes him an ani. And we assume that he wants a shvisa out in the open, even though he didn't express it in words. Is that the case? And Rashi points out that it's a bit difficult to establish the according to Rabbi Yosef, because when we have machlekes in Rabbi Yosef, we generally follow Rava. So are we following Rabbi Yosef here? Unlike Rabbah, who required Amira. Rabbah says that even according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, he needs to go ahead and speak his mind. He needs to say that I'd like to have my Shvisa in that location. So I found Rabbi Yosef, not Rabbah, says my lie. Not necessarily. Perhaps in this case, he had already expressed his intention to be kind of Shvisa there. So if that's the case, we can be following even Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Let's remember, Rabbi Yehuda held that both are required. Number one, he needs to actually say. Number two, he has to have begun his journey. So perhaps in this case, both conditions were met. Loi, ki Rabba, follow Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, following Rabba. Because since both conditions were met, it's not related to the machlekes in Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Right? All agreed according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be okay if he expressed his intention to become a Shvisa. Number two, he's already on the road. So this has nothing to do with Rabbi Rabbi Yosef. We follow Rabbi Yehuda's shita. And therefore, all agree in this case, his shvisa is valid. Continues the Gemara. Rameya says, whenever a person is required to make a proper Erev and he neglects to do so, what happens? He's in limbo. He's nor there nor here. Meaning, if he began in this city and he wanted to go over to the other city, but he never actually placed bread there. He wanted to become Shvi'i, right in the middle of the two towns, to allow him to walk farther to the other city. Rameya holds, in this case, since he's coming from home, he can't establish a remote Erev, remote-controlled Erev, by just merely announcing his intention. He has to place food there. Why? Because he's not on the road. He has access to food. He's coming from home. Therefore, says Rameya, his Erev is invalid. And what happens? He's in limbo. Because on the one hand, the Erev wasn't activated. On the other hand, we can't even treat him like the other members of his town, because in his mind, he has already relinquished the tchum in the other direction. So we have a city on the right and a city on the left. And he wanted to go from right to left. And he was unsuccessful in establishing the Erev in between those two towns. Well, he can't go to the right now. He can't use the tchum to the right of the city, because that area he certainly gave up. He never intended on using that on Shabbos. The difference is, Rameh is a chamor gamli. He's stuck in between. He's in limbo. The only way he can walk is to the left of the town, 2,000 amen, in the other direction. Says the Gemara, this concept of a person being in limbo, chamor gamli, is something which we had already previously learned, according to Rameh. So why does the Mishnah see a need to repeat it? Hatanina chadazimna, we already learned it elsewhere. Suffolk. In the case where a person placed an Erev, and there's a suffolk, whether it was activated or not. For instance, it disappeared. We don't know whether it was before Ben HaShemashes or afterwards. So what happens? He's stuck. Rameya Rabido Aymrim, Hareza Chamar Gamal. There's an uncertainty as to where he's being Kanye Shvisa. Perhaps the Erev was present during Ben HaShemashes, in which case he gets a Tchum based on the Erev. Or perhaps that Erev was not valid and he gets his Tchum based on his current location, which is the city. So Rameya Ridabo says a chamar gamal. He's stuck in between, he's in limbo. And when he walks on Shabbos, he must remain within the boundary of both possibilities, his home and the Erev. He has to work it out accordingly, because we're unsure which one is his real Makam Shvisa. So we've already learned this concept elsewhere. Why the repetition? Amar Av Sheshes, this is a chiddush here. Lo yitema, tama de Rameya. Suffolk Erev, Suffolk Erev. Don't think. Rameya only applies this concept in a case where we have an uncertainty as to the validity of an Erev. We don't know whether he did make the Erev or not. It's only over there who have a Chamar Gamal. Only over there he will have this concept of Chamar Gamal. Like in the case we just described, he places the Erev out at the end of the Tchum. We don't know what happened. So we're unsure whether the Makam Shvisa is out at the Makam Erev or back at home. So don't think it's only in that case. El aval vade la irev, but in a case such as ours, where he certainly has not acquired the shvisa at the makom of the erev, because he's not an asher, he's not an ani, he doesn't have the privilege to do it without food. So perhaps in this case, aval vade la irev lo yahbe chamar gamal. Why would we apply the concept of chamar gamal? If you don't get your shvisa over there, so certainly you revert back home. You get a proper tchum from your home in all directions. So perhaps there's no reason to apply the concept here. So the chiddush of our Mishnah is no. Elo, afilu vade le'irev. Even in this case where he certainly has not acquired the Erev out in the open, because Kontra Meir is an usher, doesn't have those privileges. Even in this case, have a chamar gamal, who consider him to be a chamar gamal, as we described, because since in his mind, he uprooted himself in the other direction, he will no longer have the boundary to that direction. So that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. The ha'acha, because in this case, vade le'irev, he certainly did not acquire the Erev out in the open. Even so, we consider him to be in limbo, meaning he loses privileges in the other direction. So in summary, we have a person who has a home in this town, a home in the other town, and we see that he'd like to spend Shabbos in the other town. He's yotze leilich. And his friend turned him back. He never made it there. He never even made it to the Makam Shvisa, to the site of the Erev, in between those towns. So we have a three-way machlekes. Now all agree that the members of this town here, Even if they announced that they want to have the Shvisa at the Makom, the Erev, it doesn't work for them because they're considered to be Ashirim. They're wealthy, they're home, they have access to food. They can't establish an Erev in this manner. That's agreed upon by all. The question is, this fellow who has already begun his trip, can he go ahead and establish a Shvisa between those towns? We have a three-way machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda says, he can certainly go travel on Shabbos from one town to the other. And the Gemara tells us that we're speaking where he spoke. He said, I want my Shvisa to be my complaint. Number two, he's begun his journey. Hachzik. He already took hold of the road. He's considered to be an Ani, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, this Erev is valid. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's allowed to go to the other town, provided the following conditions were met. We have two approaches. Rabbi says, all we need is speech. He needs to express his intention. I'd like to have my Shvisa there. He doesn't need to actually have embarked on the trip, on the journey. Even if he's just on his way out of his home and somebody stops him right there. He never went out on the road. That's enough to consider him an Ani. Because his mind is on the road. He's considered to be a traveler. We classify him as an Ani. And therefore he can make this Erev even without placing food. Rav Yosef's approach is just the opposite. He says he does not express in words that he wants to have a Shvisa, that's self-understood. But we require him to be machzik. He has to embark on that trip. He has to be considered a wayfarer in order for him to have that privilege to establish a Shvisa from afar without placing the bread. This is a Yehuda, a race of a Yehuda. Well, this person can establish an Erev in this manner. Rav Meir, on the other hand, holds no. This person is coming from home, is considered an usher. He can't establish an Erev without using bread. Therefore, says Rav Meir, the Erev doesn't work. Not only that, he loses privileges from his current location because he already was Masiach Das. He relinquished rights to the other direction. Therefore, he's a Chamar Gamal, he's in limbo. The only direction he can walk is 2,000 Amah from his current home towards the other city. Continues the Mishnah, Mishi Yotzachos Lachtchum Afilu Amah Achas Leikonis. A person went out of the tchum, even if it holds only one ama, he can't come back in. He's considered like a person who's yatzachos the tchum, receives an allotment of four amas, but that doesn't allow him to go back to the tchum and consider himself like the other members of the town. He can go ahead and walk within these four amas, and no more. Rav Lezer Omer, shtayim yikanis. If he merely went out two amas, that allows him to go back, meaning to revert back to his old chum. Sholish leikonis. If he already went out three amos, that's too far. That doesn't allow him to revert back to his old chum. Let's see Rashi inside. The first wide line says Rashi mishiyotzeh chutz l'tchum v'meizid willingly medas knowingly. The Rabbi Yonason adds even b'shoigig. It was inadvertent. Sholish mitzvah. If it wasn't for the sake of mitzvah, because if it would be for the sake of mitzvah, we learned earlier. Alafem hey, the halacha would be different. So the Tanakhama holds, even if it was just one Amma, he lost his tchum. He has to stay out there for the rest of Shabbos. Rav Lezer says, no, shtayim yikanis. If it was only two Amis, that allows him to go back. Why? Says Rashi, mishum avlos tchumen. Because both boundaries, meaning the current four Amma allotment and the original 2,000 Amma boundary, are overlapping. I'm better within each other. Kedaminu Pirkin, Rav Lezer Tamei, Rav Lezer holds, his shita is the Amar Vubem Tzayin. Rav Lezer holds that when a person gets four Amis, what happens? It's two Amis in either direction. So in this case where he only walked out two Amis, so he's going to get two Amis in all directions. Now the two Amis that are behind him are flush with the Tum. That's called Havlas Tumim. They're connected to each other, they're embedded in each other, therefore we consider as though he never left the tchum. And he can go back home. As though he never left out, never left the tchum. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Chanina. What happens in the following case? Raglei achas b'seicha tchum. He says at the edge of the boundary, one foot in, v'raglei achas chuzot tchum, one foot out. Lo yikonis. He can't come back in. He's considered to be a yetzi chuzot tchum. He certainly gets four amas for personal space, but he cannot revert back to the city's boundary. we speak about Yikanis, that means that he's going to be considered like a dweller of the city, meaning he walks throughout the city and 2,000 amos all around. No, this person who left the tchum lost that original tchum. He gets 4 amos, and that's where he has to remain for the rest of Shabbos. So even if it's 1 foot out, he's gone too far. Dichsiv. So it's based on the following pasuk in Yeshaya. In Tashiv Mishabbos Raglecha. If you restrain on behalf of Shabbos your foot. Raglecha Ksiv. Now, although we read Raglecha, which is the Lashon Rabim, which implies both feet are going to be restrained, because they're both out of Tchum, but the wording, Ksiv, the actual writing, is without a Yud, it's without Raglecha. So it's Raglecha Ksiv. It can read Raglecha, which is just a singular term. Even 1 foot. If you meant to restrain on behalf of Shabbos, such as in this case, where only 1 foot left the Tchum, you can no longer bring it back, meaning you consider as though you left the Tchum, and you have a din of a Yetzer Chuzotchum. So we follow the Ksiv, the actual spelling of the word. Says the Gemara, we have a brisa otherwise. Tanya Ragla Achas B'Seich Tchum, V'Ragla Achas Chuzotchum Yikonis. We have a brisa which says that if a person is in this very situation, one in, one out, he can come back in. He says, oh, he never left the Tchum. Says the Gemara, Hamani Achirim Hi. This brisa is following the Shit of Achirim. Achirim is actually Reb Meir, the Gemara in Hurri says. So Achirim hold that the Sanya, Achirim Aymen, Lemokim Sherubai Huniskan. Where a person's majority is, where the Rav is located, that's what he follows. That's what determines his location. So since it's only 1 foot out, and the Rav is still inside, we consider him to be still inside, and therefore, there's no concern. Igadami, there's another version of events. Amar Chanina, Ragla achas b'seich atchum, v'ragla achas chosot chum, yikonis. He has 1 foot in, 1 foot out. He says, oh, he never left at chum. D'chsiv, and tashav mishabas, raglecha. Raglecha karinan. We read it as raglecha, which is plural, which indicates that there's only a concern if both feet left at chum. But if it's one in, one out, you're okay. V'artani lo yikonis. Then we have a brayzer which says that even if it's one in and one out, he can no longer come back in. Hudamak achir, Rav Chanina is actually found in the Shittav achir, in the Sanyo, lemakim shirubo yiniskar. What determines a person's location? Where his rav is. Therefore, in this case, since he's mostly inside, it says, oh, he never left the tchum. So a following Shittav Tanakam holds that even if it's just one amma, he loses his tchum, but if it's 1 foot in, 1 foot out, where machlek is? Rav Lezo Eimer, shtayim yikonis. Sholish leikonis. If he's only 2 amos out, that's okay. If he's 3 amos out, that's too far. Why? So Rashi explained, because once he leaves the tchum, he gets 4 amos, 2 in each direction. So if he's still within those first 2 amos, then the 2 amos that are behind him are still attached to the tchum. So he never left. But if he leaves 3 amos, sholish leikonis, because at that point, he's already detached from his tchum. Right? The 2 amos behind him are removed from the tchum, because it's 3 amos from the tchum. V'atanya, but haven't we learned the brisa which says, Rav Lezo, ima'achaz yikonis. If he went out 1 amma, that allows him to come back in, shtayim lo yikonis. But if he's already gone 2 amis, he can no longer return. So this seems to be a kasha in our Mishnah, which sets the benchmark differently. Our Mishnah says, 2 is okay, 3 is no good. Brisa says, 1 is fine, 2 is too far. Like Kasha, the terrace is very simple. They're both speaking about the same thing, just describing it differently. Had akar chada v'kamar tarti. When our Mishnah says that shtayim is okay, shtayim yikonis, that's when he left one and he's in the second one. Akar chada v'kamar tarti. So he's still within the second one. That's okay. Ha, the Brisa is speaking about the akar tarti v'kamar tlas. When the Brisa says shtayim leikonis, Brisa means that he was akar tati, he already went a full 2 amas. The kamar tlas is already in the third one. He's already distanced himself a full 2 amas. It was beyond 2 amas. That's too far. So we're speaking about the same thing. The concept is, if you're still within 2 amas of the tchum, then you're okay. If you're past 2 amas, even according to Blazer, you can't return. Vatanya. Then we have a Brisa which says, Blazer Oimer, afilo ama achas leikonis. Even 1 amma doesn't allow him to come back in. How does this fit with our Mishnah, with our Braisa? Ketanya hi lemoided. That Braisa is describing a different halacha. A person is measuring his tchum. So he has a makom shvisa here, and he's walking along, measuring the 2,000 amah. This nan, u lemoided sh'amru, nois le'apayim amah, the 2,000 that's granted to the person who's measuring his boundary, afilu seif midasoy kol b'mara. What happens if he's measuring along, and look, he ends up right in the middle of a cave, an enclosed area. So even if he's right in the middle of an enclosed area, he has to stop right there. Afilu seif midasoy. If his boundary ends right in the middle of the ma'ara, he has to stop right there. We don't consider the entire enclosure like four amis. That only applies in a situation where, for instance, this is your makam shvisa, right? You're kind of shvisa in a town, enclosed area. We consider this to be four amis, and you have 2,000 amis beyond. Or in a case where, for instance, a person was transferred on Shabbos into an enclosed area. So we say, well, this is your makam shvisa. This is considered to be dal amis. Or if a person places some bread in an enclosed area, so the entire area is like dal amis. But in this case where none of these things happened, he had a shvisa elsewhere. He's walking along, and his 2,000 end right here. Saif midasa, the mida, the end of his mida is kol b'mara. He has to stop right here. He can't continue even one amah. That's all he means. Rabbi Lezer says, afilu ama achas leikonis. You can't even proceed into the ma'ara, even one amah. You have to stop right there at the end of the 2,000 amah mark. So it's unrelated to our halacha and our mishnah. So in summary, if a person left the tchum, Tanakhama holds, even one amah is to have gone, has gone too far, he can't come back in. Rabbi says, up until two amahs, you're okay. Once you've gone two amahs, you're beyond two amahs, you don't come to Rabbi Lezer, it's too far. When it's 1 foot in, 1 foot out, my machlek is. Continues the Mishnah. If a person is walking along, he's traveling, and he arrives close to a town, and by the time it gets dark, he finds himself just right outside that tchum. Even if it's just one am out of the tchum, he can't go in, meaning he can certainly walk 2,000 amas, but he's not considered like the dwellers of that town. He doesn't get privileges. He doesn't get the whole town plus 2,000 beyond. He gets his 2,000 from his current location because he's outside the tchum. Reb Shimon Omer, afilu chamesh esrei amas ikonis. Even if he's 15 amas outside the boundary marker, he can consider himself like all the other members of that town, and he gets all the privileges accordingly. Why? Why 15 amis? Because the mesheches, the surveyors, they don't place their markers with exactness. Why? They're concerned about perhaps people wandering, inadvertently wandering out of the tomb. So they place their markers about 15 amis closer to the city than it really, when really should be, than it should really be. Therefore, if a person is in this situation, he finds himself 15 amis out of the tchum, beyond that marker, he can safely assume that he's within the tchum. Therefore, Rav Shimon says, in this case, even when he's so far out of the tchum, he is regarded as within the tchum, and he has all the dinim of the dwellers of this town. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Mepnei Toya Amida. Why do they place the marker closer to town? For concern of the ones that wander and mistakenly pass the mida, the boundary. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began discussing the concept of shvisa, which grants a person 4 amos plus 2,000 amos in all directions. That certainly applies to where a person was present at the makom shvisa. He personally was there. So he gets his personal dal amos space plus 2,000 amos beyond. The question was whether perhaps this is limited to only when he's personally there. But if he places some food out there to establish the Erev, he gets 2,000, but does he also get that initial 4 amis? Or is that unique to where he's personally establishing the Erev in person? The Gemara left it unresolved. We proceeded with the Mishnah of a person who's Yotze Leilich. He began traveling from one town to the other. We have 3 shittas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's allowed to proceed on Shabbos on account of the Erev that was established on his behalf. Gemara tells us, we're speaking about when both conditions were met. He actually said he wants a shvisa to be established between both towns, and he's begun his journey. Therefore, he's considered to be an ani who has the ability to establish an erev without bread. According to Rabbi Yehuda, He's allowed to walk to the other town, provided the following conditions were met. According to Rava, he had expressed his intention to become Shvisa, although he never actually left, he never embarked on his trip. He was turned back as soon as he wanted to leave. That's okay, because in his mind, he was on the road, he's considered like an Ani. As long as he said that he wants Shvisa, it works. According to Rava, it's just the opposite. He doesn't have to say anything. The implicit consent is enough. But we require that he's lahachsek, that he's begun his travel. In that case, we regard him as an Ani. Remeir disagrees with the whole concept. He says a person coming home is called an usher. He can't establish an heir without bread. He's a chamor gamul. He's stuck in between. He doesn't have the shvisa there, nor a proper shvisa here. We discussed the case of a person left the tchom on Shabbos. If it's only one amma, according to Tanakama, he can't come back. According to Blazer, he can. If he already left two amis, all agree he can no longer return. If it's 1 foot in, 1 foot out, we have machlekes. Gemara concluded that if a person approaches a town and it gets dark, and he finds himself right outside the tchum, according to Tanakamo, he gets 2,000, but he can't consider himself like the members of the town. It's not as though he was kind of shvisa within the perimeters of the town. Rabbi Shimon concludes, yeah, within 15 you're okay, because initially the markers were placed in this manner in order to salvage those people who are going to wander inadvertently. Therefore, we can assume that within 15 amos, you're still within the boundary of the city.